Well, I tell you, just need a list of things I need to do. Okay, we've been talking about, or I did last week, remember I talked about Satisfied Mind and how great that was, and they had a song several years ago. Well, Porter Wagner's going to sing that for us tonight.
Ooh. That's an oldie.
How many times have you heard someone sing?
The truth. I don't know how many of you knew Sam Stone, but he died.
I saw that.
You see that on the thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was an editor of the Christian Standard for many, many years. What, 30 years?
Yeah, I think so. He was 86 or 88.
Yeah, 80. 80. I thought he was 84.
Was it 84?
84, I believe.
Somebody else I saw too died. He was 87 years old.
Okay, we were ready for the questions, right?
George Paul, too.
George Paul,
be in prayer for George Paul. He didn't die, I know. Not that I know of him, but they said he's really sick, is what Kendall said last night. And they were asking for prayers.
Okay, y'all got your little list of the scriptures there, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are the ones Lonnie's saying here, and some of them are ones that I've added to my stuff here. So the first question is, why do believers still struggle with sin after conversion? And it says, see Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Well, I had my answer thing here, the spirit and the flesh are always at odds. It's called human nature. So that human nature wants to fulfill the desires of the flesh, while the spirit has been redeemed, our flesh is not. So we will have that battle our entire life. And it won't be the same for each one of us. Each one has different, you know, we're all different and different makeups. So what might be a problem with you wouldn't be a problem with me. What would be a problem for me wouldn't be a problem with you. So But one thing we know for sure is, why do we still have that struggle? Well, because it's the human nature never changes. And even though that old man's crucified with Christ and buried with Christ, he keeps trying to resurrect. And we have to stay close to God and allow the Holy Spirit to help us in keeping him down. So then the second part of that is, where are you struggling currently? Well, me personally, I'd say my personal struggle is with what's going on in our world today, and it's kind of hard on my Christianity. It kind of makes you think things you shouldn't be thinking, and saying maybe things you shouldn't be saying, so you kind of catch yourselves. And it also distracts. You know, keeps you, get to pull you away from where you really want to be, where you're really living, that is for the Lord.
Yeah.
So everybody has different struggles along the way. You know, these things, it comes on the TV and things there, it almost makes you puke, you know, you just can't stand. Kind of makes you get some kind of bad thoughts towards the ones on there doing it. It doesn't mean we still hate sin, but we don't allow it to distract us and pull us away from what our real purpose in life is. You know, God doesn't need the United States of America. We need God, but he doesn't need the United States of America. And one thing for sure is his ultimate purpose will come about eventually. Guaranteed. So we don't know what all we may have to go through. America may not stand, but one thing the church ought to be doing is at least trying to save as many as possible before the ship goes down. So it is a struggle. You know, there's some, you don't want to be like them, the ones that's doing all the bad stuff out there. Yeah, somebody said, well, we'll just do like they're doing. Well, no, we shouldn't. Anybody else have anything they're struggling with currently?
Bill, I'm kind of curious, how does the spirit lust against the flesh? I think I have a firm grasp, of how the flesh lusts against the spirit.
Yeah.
When we're doing right things.
Well, that's the whole thing.
According to the Spirit and being led.
The Spirit doesn't lust for the flesh. The flesh lusts for this after the things of the world.
Yeah.
And that distracts us from allowing the Holy Spirit to do the job He's purposed to do in our life. But His job, if we allow Him to, is to keep us from following after that lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And how close we are, well, we'll cover it more down through here, but how close we are to God will be determined by how great the desire of the flesh is in overcoming our life. But if we let the flesh run with its own desires, it's going to pull us further and further away from God. And as we said many times, the Holy Spirit is only going to work and do as we allow Him to in our life. In other words, what's your desire? Is my desire to live for God, or is my desire to try to ride the middle, or my desire to go after the things of the flesh? So the flesh is always constantly trying to draw us away from the leadership of the Spirit in our life. So, and again, it's a constant thing going on. As I said, the Spirit's been redeemed, the soul's been redeemed, but the flesh has not. So the war is a constant thing going on. And that's what the Bible gives all these warnings throughout. To let us know, you know, well, it's going to be a war. It's going to be a battle in your life, and you're going to have to fight it. And God has given us the power. You know, God wants us to be holy. Well, God doesn't command anything in our life. He doesn't give the power in order to do it. So again, we have the power if we have the desire, but that doesn't mean the flesh is not going to work. And when does the devil always come in and try to do something? In our weakest moments, doesn't he? In our weakest moments. When Jesus, when he was fasting in the desert there, why did the devil wait? Well, he waited 40 days till he'd be at his weakest. And then he puts forth the temptations. So Satan knows us very well, doesn't he? He'll know when we're down. He'll know when we're kind of not farther away from God than we ought to be. And that's when he moves in. Well, again, what's our desire? The desire, again, is stronger than the will. Whatever we desire, that's what we're going to do. So that's why we must keep our desire in line with the Spirit. and align with the Word of God. Anything else on that part of it?
I worry about these people losing their homes and finances and losing their jobs and homeless.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many on the street, I think.
It's all heartbreaking. But sometimes when you get to that low ebb, you realize what the real purpose of life is. The only security you've got is with God. I mean, we could lose everything out there tomorrow. Nature could take it away, or the government could take it away. We could lose it tomorrow, but what is our feeling if that happens? Is that going to destroy our faith in God? Are we going to blame God? Or is it going to make us even stronger and realize that what's really important in this life is the things of God, and we're not living for this life. We're strangers and aliens. Our citizenship's in heaven. So that's something we have to concentrate on, isn't it? Because there's many things that go wrong in this life. As I've said many times, if this life's all I had to look forward to, I'd have committed suicide years ago. Yeah. Probably when I was a teenager or younger. But we know that there's more to it than that. And this span in this life, no matter how miserable it may get, is just a short time compared to eternity. And that's what's really important in our life. So she said, seek first of all the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. So God's going to provide what we need for as long as we need it. And if it gets to a place where that's all taken away, well, so be it. We go home. And that's going to be a whole lot better than anything this world has to offer, even the best.
I keep trying to remind my girls that there is no security in this world.
None.
You only have security in God. And He says that my needs will be met. And I don't know what I'm going to have to go through, and I don't know what kind of junk I'm going to have to go through, but God's says He's got it, so He'll help me through it.
He's already promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can leave Him, but He won't leave us.
They don't know it. I know. And good people.
Yeah.
Good people that just will not. Yeah. And it's sad.
Well, I think the point of that is, though, I've heard it time and time and time and time again at the jail. When you finally get down at the bottom, then you start realizing.
You start looking up.
Make some changes.
Sometimes you have to get all the way down before you can get back up. Yeah. And sometimes if people have lost it all, it would be the best thing that ever happened to them.
Yep.
Just like the guy said on the thing there about the satisfied mind. Mm-hmm. You know, he lost it all. But he had one thing for certain. He still had that satisfied mind. Yeah. And if we're in the Lord, no matter what comes our way, no matter what our loss is, we've got everything worth having, don't we? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? He talked about going through all that shipwreck and all those things he went through. And about all the apostles and what they went through. And he says, in reality, Phillips translation puts it that way, we have everything worth having. So the same in our life. You know, we haven't had to go through anything like Jesus did or the apostles did or any of those early Christians did. So we don't have a whole lot to complain about yet. We may get to that point, but right now we don't have that. Again, even the poorest person in the United States of America is better off than most about everybody else in the world. So we have been blessed, and God continues to bless us even when our government doesn't. Okay, he's got several questions inside of each one of these questions, so I tried to break it down a little bit. And number two there, the first thing he says is explain the difference between an act of sin and the habit of sin. And how do you break a sinful habit? Anybody want to go on that one?
I just think an act of sin is you do it, and you realize you did it after you did it, but a habit is you keep doing it over and over.
Yeah, continuous action in your life. Mm-hmm. A continuous action.
And to break it, you just have to realize it is a habit and just try to catch yourself.
I know some people who cuss like a sailor all day long, and then they'll pray to God at night, and then the next day, they go right back and do the same thing again and again and again. I don't think that's going to work very well.
No.
But that's right. It's a singular act is one thing. That's something that just kind of comes on you and you kind of maybe fall into. But if it's a continuous thing going on in your life day after day after day, then it's habitual. It's a habit.
You may have to have somebody point it out to you if you don't realize you're, you know, it comes just...
Bring it to your attention, yeah.
That might not be the best.
Yeah.
But it's best for you. It's just...
But most times we pretty much know, don't we? Sometimes our habits, we just don't want to give up. Yeah. And again, it comes right back to desire, doesn't it? The desire of the flesh or the desire of the spirit, which is the strongest in our life. And the second part of that question was, is how do you break a sinful habit? Well, how about by a greater desire to please God and allow the Holy Spirit to rule in our lives? Our desire to please God must be greater than our desire to please the flesh. I think he's the water all the time like that. And again, everything we're talking about always comes right back to desire.
I put your mindset to live for and love God most, and then prayer. You read and study the Word, meditate on it.
Yep.
And then I had Hebrews 12:1-2. So I don't know if I jumped ahead or what.
You mean Romans 12:1-2?
I've got that down somewhere else. I got Hebrews 12 because we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith.
That's true too.
That's back there in junior church. I just did that so it's fresh.
So how do you break the sinful habit? Living closer to God. In other words, we need to keep our focus, don't we? That's a 24-hour thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Keep our focus upon God. We ought to begin that focus the first thing of the morning and keep it in mind all day long. The more our mind is focused on God, the less inroad the devil's going to have in our life. Less distractions we'll have in our life.
And don't you think if it was a habit of sin that your prayer, because your desire would be to live for God, so your prayer life would come in, and I think God will, I think that he'll show that to you. Like if there's something, you think, oh man, what am I doing?
If we're living close to God, right?
Well, that's true.
If we're listening. And we ought to be open to the leading of the Spirit at all times. If God says we can overcome these things, that means we have the power. Again, God doesn't ask us to do anything. He doesn't give the power to do it. That's why we have the Holy Spirit living in us. You cannot live a Christian life, huh?
We have the power to make right choices.
We have the power. Yeah, we do. We don't always make them, but we certainly have the power. So, as we said many times, as Flip Wilson says, the devil made me do it. We can't use that excuse. It just doesn't work. The devil doesn't make you do anything. He may tempt you to a great extent, but he cannot make you sin. We do that because that's what we desire to do. Okay, then the third part of that question is, what is God's part in this process? And 1 John 1:9, and that's on your little sheet there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. And that's a third class conditional sentence, by the way, which means it's a subjunctive. It's in the present tense, which means it's to keep on doing that. So if we keep on confessing our sins, and God is faithful to keep on forgiving those sins if we're sincere in them. Again, that's a subjunctive. And remember in our class we had first, second, third, and fourth class? First class was reality, and the second class was against reality, definitely a definite no. And the third class was a probability, high probability. And the fourth class was not likely, very poor probability. So this is a high probability, and when it's in the subjunctive, if you remember your English lessons there, it's kind of a subjective thought. It's Can't read my own writing here.
Get your interpreter there.
Hypothetical?
Hypothetical, yeah. You do better than I do.
I told you, I practice. I have practice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a hypothetical, or it's a subjective thing. It's not something that's really out there, but it's a high probability that this would happen in one's life. So, in Hebrews, or Psalms 51, 10, and 11, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So God's provided the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying there. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit to the point to where the Holy Spirit leaves, because we don't have without him we have no power at all. You cannot live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. The flesh does not have the power. Human nature does not have the power. As we talked about before, as the Apostle Paul said, those things I would do, I do not. Those things I do would not do, those things I find myself doing. So we're dependent upon God, aren't we? We're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And to do that, it has to be something that's in our minds at all times, isn't it? Something we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. Again, the Spirit is subject to the one having it. And so it's in our control. It's up to us as how much the Holy Spirit has control over our life. And what does he produce in our life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Say those things you don't want in your life? I want all those in my life. And what's the deeds of the flesh? We talked about that, didn't we? What was there?
17
of them?
I don't remember.
17, I think it was.
There's no limit.
And that's the thing that keeps trying to pop up in our life. And that's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to keep them in check. And God will keep it in check if that's what our desire is. So God's part is to forgive and to strengthen. And he supplies the power. 1 John 4:4, if you need a scripture for that. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So God has supplied the power if that is our desire. Romans 6:12 is an imperative and means that we have the power. Is that in our list?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got 6:11-13.
Yeah.
After Galatians 5. Okay.
Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what he sets up first of all. Okay, we already know that, right? Therefore, because of that, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Notice after therefore there, what's it say? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Well, who's not to do that? That's an imperative, isn't it? The you is understood. It is an imperative. You! Well, that means if God says you do not do that, do not allow that, then that means you have the power to do that and not to allow that to happen in your life. So it's very important when we, instead of just reading the Bible, we kind of study it and look at the imperatives and the things there. But we like the ones where God is doing the acting, you know. We like the passive part there when God's doing something for us. Well, whether it's an imperative here, like in this sense, that means we have the power and we are to do it for ourselves. So God takes care of the impossibilities, but we're to take care of the possibilities. And God has empowered us with the power to take care of those possibilities. So that's what he's saying there in Romans 6:11-13. So what is our part? Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Where are we walking? That means where we live, isn't it? Where you walk means that's where you live, 24/7. So, we're not then to allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. And there's your 1 John 4:4, right? That you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Back to the old slogan again, we have the power if we have the desire. And I try to remind myself every day that Jesus is my Lord, my love, my life. If we keep those three things in mind, and that's a reality in our life, then Satan's not going to make very much of an inroad in our life. So I say my prayer every day is that I might be one of his greatest discouragers and depressors. And once in a while I get away from that, but then you have to find your way back and get back strong again. And don't let this world pull you away. And we're going to read that a little bit later as we get on down through the rest of it here.
Doesn't he say he'll provide a way of escape?
Mm-hmm. Yep, he provides a way. We're going to get into that.
Oh, sorry.
That's the fourth part of that thing, wasn't there? What is your part?
Oh.
Okay, and I think I got other things down here too on that same one. Romans 6:12 is an imperative. I got that down. We read that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's an imperative. It means we have the power. And it's in the active voice. In other words, what we are to do 24/7, our focus is to be upon God. It should always be foremost in our minds. If we already prepare ourselves, already we have it in our mind that if first thing that comes our way is sin, pops in our mind to think about God, think about the Word, think about the power, and allow the Holy Spirit to take care of it for us. So God does provide everything we need to be and become all that He would have us to be and become. Question number three is, what are some practices that have helped you walk in the Spirit? We'll get that one first. First thing that comes to mind is His Word, right? His Word. Study. Meditating upon God's Word.
I don't have anybody to talk to. I just go through the house and talk.
You bet.
I do. I talk a lot to God during the day while I'm doing stuff.
Pray.
Well, I talk to myself every once in a while. Again. Self, you better straighten up.
You answer yourself and say, I know.
God's going to get you.
I put like setting my mind to things above and understanding this world is not my home, nor are the world's ways my ways. Studying and reading the Bible, praying, teaching, and hanging with like-minded people, Acts 2:42. And then Colossians 3:2 was the setting my mind to things above.
And how about beginning your day each day?
I do.
With God. Mm-hmm. You think you don't have the time, but you don't have the time not to.
Yep.
It's basically the world we're living in today. And that kind of sets your mind for the day, isn't it? You can't depend upon the brain, because the brain's a wonderful thing. It begins the moment you get up in the morning and doesn't quit till you get to work.
Sometimes it keeps going at night. When you're trying to sleep, it's still, you can't help it.
Yeah, keeps right on going, doesn't it?
He said something about that today. And I said, except for nighttime, your mind kicks in then.
Well, now that I'm retired, when the thing won't shut off, I just get up and go ahead and study the Bible or get a lesson ready or get something like that. And then I can always take a nap during the day. So every once about 4 o'clock in the morning, you can't go back to sleep.
That's what I was thinking. You're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting close. Yeah.
That's what I've done this. About 4 o'clock this morning. I couldn't sleep.
Yeah. It's good time.
It's an amazing thing. You can't go back to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, but when you finally get to sleep, boy, that alarm goes off just like that, doesn't it? Okay, so we can spend time in prayer each morning and have a devotional time each morning. As one of the great evangelists of old said, when he got up in the morning, he said the first thing he wanted to see was the face of God before he saw the face of man. And that's probably a good idea. So he had a prayer time and a study time every day before he went to the office. As I said, we think that we don't have time for that, but we don't have time not to do that. Okay, question two is, what hinders you? Well, how long you got? It's always something we have to do, isn't it? Always something we need to be doing. Well, what hinders me is when I have my my priorities compromised. Yeah. If your priorities get compromised, well, that's when God hinders you in the things of the Lord.
But she's going to say me.
And then there's Brenda. What will you do to overcome the obstacles? Anybody want to be first?
I know for me, this question, I've got to have my Bible, my concordances, and other things right around me.
Yeah.
When I sit in the living room. And that's not always the place Robin wants them.
Oh, yeah, he's right. So, I'm always tidying up somewhere.
things end up being somewhere else. I know that if I don't keep God's word or things that are helping me understand God's word more close to me, that it's easy to sit down there just in that one spot, you know, drink your cup of coffee as you're waiting to go to work and get up and go.
Yeah.
But if it's there and it stays, for me, it's conviction. Why do I have this? Mm-hmm. To me, you know, and so I find that it's a hindrance to me if I don't have those things around me. But if I have them close to me, no, I know for me that it can't just be scripture written on a plaque and hung on a wall. It's got to be somewhere, it's got to be close, it's got to be read, it has to be meditated on, and it has to be, I got to be knowing and growing all the time. And if I can't be doing that,
you got to, well, yeah, definitely. Everybody does. If they're there, you're sliding back. You're either growing or you're not.
Yeah. So if I don't have that, I have a tendency to not grow.
Well, just take the time in the morning, grab them back out, and put them back out on the thing there.
It's kind of that battle back and forth.
Be thankful you got Robin. I don't have that problem. And my thing, I got a thing like these tables here all the way around the circle here. I got all of my books laid out all over there.
He really does.
But I'd rather have my wife back putting them all up than I would have to be without her. So.
Yeah, they can't be up on the on the shelf collecting dust.
Yeah. I'm doing my study on John. I'm getting along very fast on it. I got, like I said, I got this new desk thing there, and I got my computer thing over in the corner here, and got my Bible things on it. And I got my commentaries all laid around. It comes around a square like this. Got all my commentaries laid out there. So then I read the verse, and I go get my commentary, read each one, and then I put down what I want to put down on the thing. So,
probably about 20 or 30 books laid out.
It's pretty sweet.
It's very handy. It's the best study thing I've ever had. Here I am getting... I guess that's good, though, because you're cramming for your finals now. So.
Yeah.
There you
go.
Well, I could constantly remember the main purpose in life. And then I got Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Should be on your paper there. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. What's the whole duty of man there?
Fear
God and keep His commandments. Fear means kind of reverence for God, deep reverence for God. Okay, anything else on that question? If not, we'll move into number 4. And it's got several questions within a question. What does acceptance of God's will have to do with overcoming the problem of sin?
About the only way you can overcome sin, isn't it? I mean,
well, it's not only acceptance, but it's also it's a completely sold out to God. There's no halfway house with God. You're either all in or all out. So it's not only acceptance of God's will for my life, not just giving it mental assent, but it means that's where I live. That means he's number one in my life. He's my full purpose in life. Everything else revolves around that. As Jesus says, seek first of all the kingdom and his righteousness, God and his righteousness, and all these other things, what?
Yeah.
Be added unto you. So the problem is we want to add all these other things and then give God what's left. And who are we cheating? We're cheating ourselves, aren't we? Yeah. The closer you get to God, the more you're dedicated and consecrated to him, the more happy life you have. It may not be the richest life, but it's the happiest life, the most joyful. So again, we must be sold out to God.
I kind of put, yes, Lord, your servant hears and obeys, knowing you have our best interest in mind and love us more than we can ever imagine. And then Romans 12:1-2, that's where I put that one.
Okay, and on your thing, there's 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7. Now that's probably the second part of it there, isn't it? Yeah, okay, that's after we get the others done. We'll do the others first, then we'll go to the scriptures. Okay, so question two there. Have you yielded to God's will in every area of your life? Why or why not? Well, it's kind of a daily thing, isn't it?
Imperfect progress.
It's a progressive thing, because that's what your sanctification is, isn't it? It's a progressive thing. It's not just a one-time thing. God didn't make us robots. We still have a choice every day. We get up in the morning. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the world? What's important in my life? Am I sold out to God or am I just trying to put him as an add-on to my life? That's why far many church members are miserable today, because they want just enough to stay above the line, as we said last week, but not enough to really have the real joy that is there. And, of course, the sweetest part's at the center, isn't it? So seek God, first of all, God and his righteousness and all these other things that will be added unto you. So let him add them as you need them. And he will only add those things which will bring joy and peace and happiness to your life. Why or why not? Well, as we said before, the spirit and the flesh are always warring, aren't they? Always warring. So we need to decide before the temptation gets there, don't we? If you wait till the time, then it's probably not going to work well. You make up your mind every morning, I'm going to serve God no matter what. He's going to be number one in my life. He has first place in my life, and nothing is going to take my thoughts away from him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes it very clear for us, doesn't it? That should be on your list there.
Yep.
Well, we didn't do the will yet, though, either, did we? Yeah. Anyway, we'll leave this and we'll probably get to it. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Sometimes, like Joseph, you have to make a big run, don't you? A good run's better than a bad stand. That's in anything in life. The person says, he who runs today lives to fight another day. Okay, so just as Jesus overcame temptation in the wilderness, what did he use? The Word of God. All the weapon he used was the Word of God. What weapon do we have today? The Word of God. That's why it's so important that this living Word becomes incarnate in us. So when these things come our way in life, those scriptures all just pop in mind. Because that's how you're going to overcome. And the Bible's already told us, if you study it all the way through, everything could possibly come our way, God's already provided how we are to react to it. And sometimes we have to react, first of all, rather than wait for it to actually become a temptation. If you know it's coming, you ought to be prepared for it. And again, it's an attitude of mind to start with, isn't it? What's my attitude of mind? Am I going to play with it? You know, so like I said, you can't stop the temptation coming your way. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them making a nest in your hair. So when those thoughts come your way, or when these temptations come your way, get rid of it. You know, all, that's what you, your thoughts you ought to be turning to God and the Word of God that you've already got hidden in your heart. That should come to mind. As he says, in what verses of Scripture states God's will for your life? We'll get into that now. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, what? Your sanctification. That is what you abstain. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. So that's a part of the sanctification. 4:7 says that God has not... For God has not called you for the purpose of impurity, but in what? Sanctification. So that sanctification covers an all big area in our life, doesn't it? If we are sanctified, set apart unto God, then we ought to be able to overcome all these things as they come our way, way in life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Another great scripture. And again, you see the Phillips translation there. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. And here's the key thing here, and again, we're the ones who have the power, aren't we? Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Nothing better could be said than that, is it? Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Well, if we're already in the mold of God, and we've been transformed by the Word of God, then we're already should be prepared, aren't we? I mean, we ought to recognize these things as the moment they pop into our life. And what do we do after that pops into our mind, it pops into our life? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't dwell on it. It's when you dwell on these things, it's when you start to fall. You get to thinking more about those things than you do about the will of God for your life. And when God says not to do something, why does He say that?
Because He loves me.
Because He loves us and He knows it's not going to bring what we're looking for in life. Mm-hmm. Everything He says to do, that's because He knows that's what will bring true joy, happiness, and peace to our life. And we'll be saying that over and over and over again. Okay, anything else you want to add to that?
I think it's important to kind of learn your weaknesses too and not test them. If there's some area that you're weak at, stay away from it.
And everybody has a different area that they'll
be
weak at.
So, I mean, there's... You know, sometimes they attempt it and they think they're strong enough and they can do this and they can do that.
We've already I talked about that earlier in our first lesson there, first or second lesson anyway, that many preachers have made that big mistake. They think they're stronger than dirt, you know, and they're going to be able to handle the situation. And what happens is they don't handle the situation. The situation handles them.
I mean, it can be that, or I mean, it can be drink, you know, anything, really. That
you cannot toy with the devil. Don't toy with the devil. Don't toy with temptation. And we're very, very much aware of where our weakness is at. If we've lived any time at all in this world, we know where our weaknesses are at. So, and God has told us how to take care of that. I like to think about it just like carrying a gun. You're already determined ahead of time. If that situation gets so bad that I have to pull that gun out, then somebody's going to be shot. Because it has to be an extreme emergency for you ever to get to that point to where you're actually going to pull it. But then if you're going to pull it, then already make up your mind that you're going to use it. Same way as sin enter into our life. When that temptation is there, make up your mind right then. That's not going to happen in my life. And then you get rid of it. You stop it before it ever gets started. Don't let it grow. And that's the same way with if we have a problem with someone and we let that just keep growing and growing and growing in our life, let it eat at us. And who are you hurting? Yourself. You're not hurting that other person. He probably didn't, that other person probably doesn't even know that you have a problem with them. If you got a problem with them, then go to the person and talk about it.
I've done that before.
But they don't usually do that. You have to go talk to somebody else about it.
How did it go?
It worked out pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
She smacked him.
WrestleMania.
She keeps kind of doing it, but.
Oh.
She didn't smack again.
No, I didn't smack her. It's all in the way.
Just with words.
You know, talk to them and present it and in an understanding way, and then she understood. I understood her.
Right.
Because I didn't think she even knew what she was doing, and she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it helped a lot. She still does some, but better.
Yeah. She go like, oh, I did it again.
Basically, in family situations, sometimes a good walk is better than standing and talking.
Oh, I
do. Yeah. I've done a few walks in my married life. Remember this, once something is said, it's gone. No matter how many times you apologize for it, it's already there. It's already done the damage. Even though the person may forgive you, but it's still there. It's there. The best place at bed is keep it to yourself and don't say it to start with. And sometimes that means you do a good walk in your family relationship. Take a long walk rather than speak up. Okay. Where are we at on this thing?
We just finished.
I think we're down to five, aren't we?
Number five, yeah.
To whom God gives His Holy Spirit? To whom does God give His Holy Spirit? Well, He has there Acts 5:32, but I also added Acts 2:38 and 39. What He says is good and it's right. He says, "And we are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those what who obey Him." Well, he need to carry it on out of what that obedience meant. That means that we obey Acts 2:38 in our life, along with the rest of the things that God has to say in life. Acts 2:38 and 39, most of you can probably even quote that. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I always like to add 39 with that so there's no mistake. "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." So I don't see any argument that they can have with that, do you? How can you argue all that other stuff when it says very plainly right there, it's for all that God calls? And then, of course, God is the one who adds, isn't He? And we find in Acts 2:47, He adds those ones who are being saved. So, how? So how? Let me try to find down there, but I get my focus all in here. To whom God? Whom does God give His Holy Spirit? So we've read that there. And how does the Holy Spirit help you overcome sin? He's got Romans 8:13. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, both the ifs there are first-class conditional sentence, which means reality. It means reality. It's real. It's true to reality. So, what he's saying? For if, there's the if there, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. That's reality. You know? No question about it. That's not subjunctive. That's not the perhaps. It's a direct, exact quotation and what's really going to happen. And the second one's the same way. It's first class as well. For if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, again, that's absolute. You count on it. Take it to the bank. It is a truism. And course, we know that, don't we? It's amazing how much better, more we know than we do. And it's that application is the problem. And I don't have a problem with anything in the Word of God that I don't understand. What I have a problem is what I do understand. And making that application to my life. We are set apart. That's where our sanctification is, isn't it? We are set apart by God, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome. And I'll put another if in there. It's a truism. If that is our desire. And again, 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So no question, is there? Okay, how are we doing on time, wife?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into chapter 2 next week, you've got another thing here that I've added to it here on the back side of your scriptures there on the Holy Spirit. So we want to talk a little bit about that, because we've talked a lot about it, how the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to take care of us. And as we lean upon Him, He's going to produce His fruit in our life. He's going to give us the power to overcome. So we want to look at all these scriptures I have down here concerning the Holy Spirit. And then we'll start in chapter 2. Yeah, it's on the back side there. I figure it's more important, so I put it in red. So we had a couple of verses there on the Holy Spirit's work before we come to Christ, and then we're going to see all those scriptures that after one comes to Christ. And I think you'll find it's an interesting study, and that's where our power comes from. We have the power if we have the desire. Always keep that in mind. Okay, Jim, you want to have our closing prayer for us tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the time to be in your Word. And Father, just pray that each and every time as we open your Word that we gain more insight to your Word and closer to you and closer to your will, Father, that it help us, enable us to live closer lives to you and help us to witness for you more effectively, Father. We just love you. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for your Word, that we have it to rely on and know that it's your truth. And, Father, that we can go to it 24/7, that your Word's there and it's the truth. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us to help us to understand, to lead us in the way that we need to go. Father, we just pray that you continue to be with us and help us to be faithful to you. Forgive us where we fall short. And Father, we just pray that you be with us now as we go our separate ways. Give us safe trips home until we meet again. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.